last Masechta in Shas, Rabbi Yisai. The last Masechta in Shas. The first and last Masechta in Shas deal with food. Brachas is in part about food, about brachas on food, and Masechta Uksan is all about the Tumah and Tahara of food. Shas opens with Yiras Hashem. Maybe we said Kormos Shema Ba'arvus. Shas opens with Kriya Shema as one of the primary expressions of Yiras Hashem. And it moves to food. And as a matter of fact, all of the rest of Seder Zraim is essentially about food. Reinforcing an idea that we saw so many times over the course of this year, maybe most recently in the words of the Kuzari at the beginning of Ma'amar Gimel, that Judaism rejects both hedonism and asceticism. We reject both the idea that we should just engage the physical world with no spiritual framework. We also equally reject the idea that the physical is fundamentally bad and ugly, and anytime you're engaged in the physical world, it's necessarily a concession. We believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the physical world, and we can choose to engage it well or poorly. And we are commanded to use the physical world around us and physical pleasure specifically as a tool in our Avodas Hashem. And we open Shas with the Brachas, and we close Shas with Uktzen. So Ochlin, as we've spoken about from a more technical standpoint, in the world of Tumah V'Tahara, to go back to the way we opened this Seder, that Inyanei Taharas focuses on three major areas: on the Avos HaTuma, on the Mekablei Tuma, and on the Darche HaTahara. So Maseches Uksan is firmly in the world of the Mekablei HaTuma. We've discussed many times there are four types of things in the world that are Mekablei Tuma: Adam, Kalim, Ochlim, and Mashkim. Several Masechtas and Taharas have already focused on Tumas Ochlin, something that was a major topic in Maseches Taharas, that was a major topic in Machshirin, and it came up as well in Maseches Tvul Yom. As we know, that any food can go up to a Sheni, Truma and Kachem can even go beyond. And we've spoken also already about the fact that food is only Mekabel Tuma once it's severed from the ground, as long as it's Mechubar LaKarka, it's not in Mekabel Tuma. Adam Tame touches an apple that's still on the tree, it's not Mekabel Tuma. It needs to have Hechsher in order to Mekabel Tuma. Food needs to have been rinsed with one of the Shiva Mashkim. That was a primary topic of Maseches Machshirin. That too, that rinsing has to, which makes it susceptible to Tuma subsequently, has to also happen once it's no longer Mechubar LaKarka. And finally, we spoke about the question of Shi'urim. We spoke about the question of Shi'urim, that food has to be at least, a piece of food has to be at least a kibbutz, so certainly in order to mitame others, according to some Rishonim, even in order to become tame. And finally, something that really came up to Yom and comes up once again in Maseches Uksan is the question of object boundaries. What is the thing? How big is the piece? Because if I have two separate bananas, one on top of the other, and they're separate bananas, and an Adam Tame, let's say Nachman Daniel had handled a dead sheretz, he had handled a dead mouse. And now, so the sheretz was an Avatuma, so Nachman Daniel is a Rishon LaTuma. So if Nachman Daniel touches a banana, assuming the banana is already Huchshar, bananas become a Sheni. If there are two bananas stacked one on top of the other, he touches the top one becomes a Sheni, the bottom one is not Tame at all, because the bottom would have become a Shlishi, but it's Chulin, it doesn't become a Shlishi. But the top one, assuming it's one whole piece, the whole thing becomes a Sheni. If it was cut in half, so then only the half that you touched would become a Sheni. So the question of object boundaries is very important, and that's the opening and primary topic in Maseches Uksan. Because the Mishnah wants, and what the Uksan is primarily about is what's called food. What's called food? When is food food? So in the middle of the Masechta, the question is, when is food food in terms of when is it edible? When is it roi l'machal adam? Because it has to be edible to be food. It has to already be ripe enough to be food, and it's not yet spoiled. But the Masechta opens with the following question. Let's go back to those bananas. How did you picture that? Probably some of you pictured peeled bananas in a bowl. But maybe some of you pictured a banana that's still unpeeled in its natural state. You went to the store, you bought a banana, and you brought it home, a bunch of bananas. Now I ripped off a banana from the bunch, right? In Adam Tameh, let's go back, Nachman Daniel handled the sheretz. He hasn't yet gone to mikvah. See, he's still reaching Latumah, and he picks up a banana, an unpeeled banana. What happens to the banana now? Is it Tameh or is it not Tameh? Well, he didn't actually touch the edible part of the banana, did he? He touched the peel. Is the peel food? Not really. Is the stem food? Not really. And yet, the Mishnah tells us that, well, but on the other hand, it's attached to food, and it services food. It's what the opening Mishnah refers to as a yad or a shomer. The peel of the banana is a shomer. It's you're not going to eat the peel itself, but the peel keeps the banana inside edible. Or I have a pistachio in a shell. So I don't eat the shells, but the shells are a shomer for the nut inside. So the Mishnah tells us that as long as the shomer is still attached and still doing functioning, it has the full status of the ochel in both, in all directions. If you touch the shell, if an Adam Tame touches the shell, the pistachio inside becomes Tame. An Adam Tame touches the banana peel, the banana inside becomes Tame. And vice versa. In terms of Tumah emerging from it, let's say I have a food which is a Rishon L'Tumah. So even just another food touching the peel or the shell, that will already give off the Tumah. And then even can be, let's say I have a half a cup of pistachios. I'm trying to figure out, do I have a shear kibetza? Oh, how much am I measuring? Just the pistachio nuts, the flesh inside itself, or am I including the shells? I have a half a banana. Banana got cut. It was still in the peel. So I'm trying to figure out, do I have a kibetza or not? Do I include the peel? So the answer is yes. A shomer, opening mission tells us, is Mitame, mitame, umitstareif. It can receive the tumah. The food can makabel tumah via the shomer. It can also give off the tumah via the shomer. And the shomer even counts towards the shear kibetza. That's the status of a shomer. And then the Mishnah says there's a lower level called yad. Shomer is where it actually protects the food inside, like a peel, or like a shell. A yad is a handle, not a Twitter handle, but a yad is a handle in the sense that you have a stem. Let's say the stem of the banana or the stem of the apple, something like that. It doesn't protect the fruit, but it does have a lower level of functioning. It allows you to hold the fruit. So if you have something which is a yad to the fruit, like a stem, so the let's say you have a hot pepper, for those who like hot peppers. Right? So a lot of times you'll hold it by the stem. You're not going to eat the stem necessarily, but you'll hold it by the stem while you chew off the tip of the pepper and suck out the burning hot juice. Right? So that stem, it's not a shomer, but it's a yad. So yad it has some of the dinim of a shomer. It does conduct tumah. The tumah can go into the food via the yad, it can come out of the food via the yad, but it's not mitzareif. It doesn't add up. It's not included when you're trying to figure out do you have a shear kibetza or not. So the Mishnayos go on to discuss this topic in detail in Prakim Aleph and Beis, what's considered a shomer, what's not considered a shomer. And sometimes you may have a peel that's just for looks, doesn't actually protect us, that won't be the same. And the Mishnahs go on to talk about, as I mentioned before, the question of when is food edible? The food itself, if it's already, is it ripe enough to be edible? and so on and so forth. And then the Mishnayos go on in the last parak to discuss some more general dinim of Tumas Ochlin. And finally, the last Mishnah, I want to draw your attention to the last Mishnah, Maseches Uksin. You know, Uksin, we usually think of as closing with beautiful Agadah, Paragimel, Mishnah Yud Beis, that's how it's referred to, according to Beshua ben Levi, about two Divrei Agadah. Beshua ben Levi talks about the unimaginably great reward, the Schar Na'olam Haba, that Kadosh Baruch Hu has for Tzadikim. And Rishon ben Chalafta talks about the unique role of shalom, of peace. L'matzah Kadosh Baruch Hu kli machzik baruch l'Yisrael el ha-shalom. That shalom is the container for the context for to be able to enjoy any other bracha. So that's often when people make a siyum on Shas or a siyum on Taharis, they'll read that. The truth is, though, it's usually assumed that this last, what's printed as Mishnah Yud Beis, is a brisa. A brisa that was put there to close Shas with beautiful Divrei Agadah about the Schar Na'olam Haba and about the role of Shalom, presumably even in Olam Hazeh. However, the last Mishnah in Uksin is Mishnah Yud Aleph. Mishnah Yud Aleph is about Tumas Ochlin, and it also brings things together with a very broad scope and touches back on an insight of Zevin into Machlokas Beishan Beisil in general, because Mishnah Yud Aleph is a Machlokas Beishan Beisil. You want to know if you're a beekeeper, if you're a beekeeper and you have in the hive, so you have those panes, you have those frames where the bees have built their waxy honeycomb, and the honeycomb is full of honey. And in that state, it's solid. Eventually, you're going to remove those frames of honeycomb, and you're going to extract the honey from the comb, from the wax, and it's a liquid. And as we've discussed many times, there are a number of differences between Ochlim and Mashkim in the world of Tumah V'Tahara. Ochlim require Hechsher, Mashkim don't. On the other hand, Mashkim can sometimes, as we've seen, snap back up. And sometimes Mashkim will become a Rishon L'Tumah, even if there be Makabel Tumah from a Sheni. So at what point does honey cross over, transition from being an Ochel to being a Mashkim? It doesn't, at first it seems like a very narrow machlokas. And Beishamai say Misha Yicharcher, but still say Misha Yirasek. Beishamai say, once you do the preliminary step of Chirchur, a machlokas, whether that has to do with removing the, that's a reference to removing the honeycombs, those frames from the hive, or maybe even an earlier stage when you begin to smoke the hive, because the smoke calms the bees down, that allows you to safely go in and remove the frames. So that's the approach of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel say, no, Mishira Seik, when you actually, after both those stages are done, you've smoked the bees and you've removed the honeycomb frames. And Beis Hillel says it's only later when you actually begin to extract the honey from the wax. So you look at this and say, okay, you know, I have a good friend who's a beekeeper. So if he will be zocha to once again be keeping the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara practically, so this will be an important din. But if I'm not a beekeeper, it doesn't really strike me as necessarily so fascinating. But the truth is, it is, because Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Rav Zevin points out in a beautiful piece in L'Or HaLacha, he says, although Beis Shammai Beis Hillel argue about, seems like every topic under the sun, such a wide array of topics in Halacha that Beis Shammai Beis Hillel debate, Rav Zevin points out, their discussions range across Shas, but in general, they typically argue about one underlying theme, which is whether you focus on the potential or on the actual. We discussed this Rosh Chodesh Shvat at the very beginning of this semester. The Beis Shammai may hold that the Rosh Hashanah Lilanos begins in Rosh Aleph Shvat, while Beis Hillel holds it begins Tu B'Shvat, and that reflects this focus on the actual or the potential. Beis Shammai say that the Polches V'Holech, you start with 8 candles in the first night and you work your way down. Keneged Yamim HaYotzim, Yam HaNechnasim rather, the number of days that are left to Chanukah. And Beis Hillel, as we know, and we Paskin, has said, no, Keneged Yamim HaNechnasim. We're looking at the number of days you've already enjoyed, the Yamim HaYotzim. It's already been 1 day of Chanukah. It's already been 2 days of Chanukah. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are focused on what actually is. Beis Shammai are focused on potential. The beginning of the month is when you have maximum potential growth of the moon yet to come. And Tu B'Shvat, the middle of the month, is when the moon is actually at its greatest point. So Beis Shammai say that as soon as the potential is there for the honey to be extracted, Misha Yicharcher, once you remove the frames, the honeycomb frames from the hive, or perhaps even earlier, once you start smoking them, you're already laying the groundwork for turning into Mashke. Beis Shammai say, we already see it as Mashke now. While Beis Hillel say, we're looking at the actual. We're looking at it's Mashke when it actually is Mashke. The fact that, you know, I'm putting the steps into place, that's great, but only is Mashke once it's actually Mashke, only Misha Yirasek. And while in the realm of Halacha, one may need to choose one or the other, I'm either going to define Mashke by when it actually is Mashke, or I'll already define it as Mashke by when it's, as Beis Shammai say, potentially Mashke, it's clear that in the realm of Hashkafa, both of these perspective, the Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim is very evident. It's very clear that in looking at situations and in looking at oneself in the mirror, you're going to maximize your growth if you can look at both simultaneously. Going back to the beginning of the year, the Mesil Sharma taught us in the third parak, to be able to look at both the actual and the potential. To be able to take pride in what I've already accomplished, the Mishi Yirasek, to see it, the Mashke that I've already extracted in Mayim El Torah, and Mishi Yechacher, to also be able to see not only here's what I've already accomplished, but in the learning that I've done, in the growth that I've already accomplished, to be able to see in that, as Beis Shammai do, the kernel of where that could take me. And to have both perspectives, the actual and the potential. One could even suggest that feeds into that closing Agada. Because Rabbi Shua ben Levi is focusing us on seeing that the actions that you do in Olam Hazeh, they're setting you up for unimaginable schar in Olam Haba. You don't see that yet. Rabbi Shua ben Levi says you have to understand that the smallest positive actions to Olam Hazeh are generating unimaginably enormous, magnificent Olam Haba. And Rishon Mechalafta is pointing us to see even to see the Olam Hazeh as well, to see the ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes not only that my actions have the seeds, the potential for greatness and the potential for schar, but to understand what I can do to enjoy things as they are right now. That putting shalom into place will allow me to enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's brachas in this world as well. V'chein yihi ratzon.